Around the story from last week. Luke chapter 8, verse number 40, if you will. And this is not a real spiritual thought here, but we have been offered, we've done this a couple times where we've just kind of had a group that the church, whoever wanted to go down to here to downtown here to a Revolutions game. And I got a deal, they called me up and got a deal for us here. And we can do something, we can go to, and we can do it most any time, but we've got to come up with 30 tickets. If there's 30 folks, we can get the tickets for $9 each, and $5 goes to the concession stand. It's a $5 voucher at the concession stand. So really, you're paying $4 for the game, and you're getting five bucks to, I see you get a small soda for that. That's about the way it works. But so if you're interested, we've got to do this by July 19th. But we need to have 30 tickets to make that work. So if you're interested, let me know, and we'll see. I'll say something again on Sunday, Lord willing. And that's not a real spiritual activity, but it's fun to get together and have some fun with our Christian family. Luke chapter 8, verse number 40, if you will, please. And let me begin reading here. Again, we talked about the kind of the middle portion of this chapter last week, and but we'll read through here. Luke chapter 8, verse number 40. It came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Just right there next to Jesus. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, same amount of time as his daughter's been alive, which has spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee. And sayest thou, who touched me?" I mean, it could have been anybody in here. I mean, they're all hanging all over you. In fact, to tell you the truth, probably almost anybody close to you has already touched you. But what do you mean? And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue," that means the power of God, that virtue, the word virtue is dunamis. It's the same thing that it says when you're supposed to tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power, the Holy Spirit power. That's that same word there. He says, "Virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." And we talked about last time, you know, when you think God doesn't know you exist. And there's this lady, all the throngs, and he's going to go heal Jairus' daughter. And everybody's in, and she thinks, "Well, no one even knows I exist, but I know that he has the power to heal me. And so if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'd be healed." And so, but that's what happened. She felt like no one knew she existed. Verse 49, "While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead." So now we're back to Jairus here. "Your daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. Don't bother. Don't bother him anymore. It's too late." No sense. I mean, he's a good guy and everything, but we just didn't get here in time. But when Jesus heard it, verse 50, he answered him saying, "Fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, "Weep not, she's not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat, and her parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Let's have a word of prayer, and tonight we're going to talk about this idea, down but not out. Down but not out. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. And I thank you for Mr. Luke here, who wrote the Gospels with the sense of caring for the Son of Man, calling Jesus the Son of Man, but also seeing the Son of Man in him that relates to us, just human, just mortals. Seeing the infirmities, seeing the needs, seeing the hurts and the struggles, and seeing how Jesus is touched with our infirmities, sees the need, and has compassion. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts here this evening. Again, there's many things goes on in our hearts, and there may be something we can use, maybe something we can use to help someone else. Maybe there's some things we're going through ourselves. Or maybe it's something we're going to go through here in the next week or two or next month or two. Lord, help us to learn these lessons and these thoughts, and help us be one step closer to who you want us to be, teaching us to observe all things. So Lord, we put in your hands, we ask for your spirit. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Have you ever felt the need to trust God to do something that only God could do? That can be difficult enough in and of itself. But then after you work up the courage to trust God and take that step of faith, you have others mock and laugh at you for your faith. Or at least you have some folks who maybe they don't know what you're doing, but they kind of mock at the idea. Or maybe we just live in a society sometimes that kind of mocks at the idea. You watch a TV show and they love to make fun of those who, you know, trust God in anything. If we're not careful, we can become embarrassed, kind of shrink back from our faith in the Lord. Romans 10:11 says, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Now, I know it's talking an awful lot about there about salvation, but the fact is that the principle is still the same. To have faith and then live by that faith takes a little nerve, if you know what I'm saying, to actually walk out in faith. If you really believe in the Lord and in what he can do, he says you won't allow the thought or the risk of embarrassment to stop you. And what if we add to that scenario a delay by the Lord? You know, you put your trust in him and you really need to do him, and something you can't do, and you know, somebody finds out that you're trusting him to take care of something, and then they start kind of making fun of you. Now, don't go out on a limb. You don't have to go out on a limb. You got to make sure that God's putting you out on that limb, all right? That's still there. But what if you go out on a limb, and then you just sit there, and it doesn't seem like God does anything? Do you ever have the feeling that God's gotten sidetracked with other issues and forgot about you? There may come a time where we feel we have been given the knockout blow, even though we are truly coming to God in faith. On the other hand, if we have truly come to God in heartfelt faith, we may be down, but we're not out. Let me give you number one. Natural concern. Natural. N-A-T-U-R-A-L. It's natural. Natural concern. Look what it says there in Luke 8:40. You have in your paper. It says, "It came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him." Let's just kind of put ourselves in the shoes of Jairus here. He's got one daughter. She's 12 years old. In that society, she's almost coming to becoming of age. You know, 13, 14 year old young maiden. You know, he just about got her raised. You know, and obviously he loved her, and all of a sudden, there she is. Something has taken her, and she's lying, and there's not a thing they can do, and it looks like she's going to be dead. I mean, we've been here before. We've seen people die before, and we, you know, whether it's a fever, what it might have been, who knows? It might have been something as simple that penicillin now would take care of, but the fact is they didn't have it. She was going to be dead. There's a natural concern. I know we've talked about this before. There's worry and there's concern. It's a fine line. Sometimes we kind of jump back and forth over that line. You know, we have a faith, we have concern, and then, you know, we kind of jump across on the side of worry, you know. What in the world's God going to do? And we're kind of riding that line between concern. But the fact is, concern is natural. In fact, if you weren't concerned, I'd be wondering what's wrong. You know, I mean, most of us have probably sometime or other laid awake because the baby's lying in the other room with 105 fever. Or maybe you're in the same room, mopping the brow. I know a couple of times my mom, I was kind of a sickly little boy, you wouldn't know it now, in fact, there's a picture of me when I was about five years old sitting with all the rest of my cousins, and I'm just, so help me, I'm not lying. I was this little skinny thing with my eyes all sunk back in my head, you know, and turned out I had bad tonsils and bad adenoids. I couldn't taste food. Well, at 6 years old, I had my tonsils and adenoids out, went home and had a roast beef dinner, mashed potatoes and everything else the same night, and the rest is history. But anyway, we've all had concern for our kids. You know what that's like. It is normal and natural for a parent to have concern, deep concern for a child. Look at letter B. We all have or will experience heartache. Heartache. And troubles that are beyond our capabilities. There are some times our kids were sick. Or maybe it's a financial thing. Maybe it's a marital thing. I don't know what it might be. But sometimes there's things you want. You know what? It's all out of my control, and that's okay. Sometimes God puts things out of your control so that you have to lean on Him. He puts you flat on your back so you have no place to look but up. Because if we didn't, we would never look up. You say, well, I don't want to bother Him. Didn't we just take care of that last week? He wants you to bother Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But he that believes that he is must believe. He that comes to him must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. We're going to get to this passage in Luke a while back and talk about knocking on the door, and God's going to answer the prayer because of our importunity. Not giving up, having faith, knowing he has the answer. God likes that. You know what that means? You believe in him. You can't see him. Chances are you haven't heard him. But you believe in him. Things come into our lives that are beyond our natural abilities to remedy. And when things occur that are beyond your control, beyond our abilities, what do? Panic. You've heard my story. I did that one time. I mean, I've gone past worry. At one time, I know I did. You cry. You get angry. Blame others. Attack others. Throw your hands up in frustration and defeat. Maybe you blame God. Or do you go to the Lord with the issue and release it into God's hands? Letter C. It is natural to be concerned that God is not concerned. Now, he is concerned. But sometimes we feel he's not. We feel like we're all alone. And it's natural for us to be concerned when we think that God's not concerned. What do you mean? He's forgotten me. What is going on? That's natural. God made us that way. But the fact is, God almost wants us to go through that process of learning to be concerned. You've heard me preach it here several times. Paul says, I glory in tribulation also because tribulation worketh patience. means I got to wait for God to do something. I don't know what to do. See, patience means I'm not doing it. God's doing it. So tribulation works my patience. My patience is I got to wait for God to do it. But patience works my experience. And when I come out the other side and see what God has done, then it says experience brings hope. And hope makes not ashamed. It's going to be all right. I've been around this block before. It looks really bad. And the worst thing that can happen to me is I die and go to hell. Die and go to heaven. That's the worst thing that could happen to me, die and go to heaven. Sometimes God seems more concerned with others than about you. Ever been there? Someone comes in, you've got a problem, watch this. And someone stands up and says, I just got to praise the Lord. He answered my prayer today. I've had this and this. It's just a wonderful thing. And you're sitting there thinking, he didn't answer my prayer. I've been praying this for a lot longer than that person. What's the deal, God? It's natural to be concerned that God's not concerned. Now, I'm not going to go through this whole story because we went through it last week. Here's my point. Jairus comes to Jesus, gets down on his knees and says, listen, my daughter is dying. You have to come. And Jesus says, okay. So they start working their way through the crowd. And he said, all right, we're getting there. I sure hope we get there on time. I mean, she's on death's door. This is my only daughter. I've had her 12 years. I mean, I just can't. Oh, my soul, what had happened? I don't know what my wife's going to do if that daughter dies. I don't. It's just going to be terrible. And here he goes. And come on, Jesus. It's great to be. Jesus. And over here's Jesus in the midst of this crowd saying, who touched me? What do you mean, who touched you? You're in the middle of a crowd. My daughter is dying. Now, he probably isn't saying this, but he's thinking, my soul, what's the master doing? Doesn't he care about my daughter? My daughter's dying. She may only have a few minutes left. We've got to get him there. Well, who touched me? Why did? Oh, so he stops and has this conversation with this lady in the middle of the crowd. Now, it's a good chance, I don't know, it's a good chance that Jairus couldn't even hear the conversation between him and this woman with all the crowd hanging around. You know what I mean? Oh, and all this stuff's going on. How is he going to hear what's going on? And so all he knows is that Jesus stopped in his tracks. My answer just got delayed, if I get an answer at all. Is he coming? Or isn't he going to come? Things like this can cause us to question God's love for us. Now watch, it's not the fact that God can only do one thing at a time. That's not the issue. He can do everything he wants. But there's quite a few times where Jesus says to I'm called to the children of Israel, you know, not to the dogs. And the lady says, the other lady says, even the dogs get to eat from the crumbs of the table. Now that's faith. I don't know what he's doing, but I'll tell you this: in the midst of everything that's going on, even if someone else is getting their prayer answered, God hasn't forgotten you. That God might have a bigger plan. My daughter's on the verge of death, and she stopped, and Jesus stops to find out who touched him in a pressing crowd where everyone's trying to touch him. It looks like Jesus doesn't care if my daughter lives or dies. If Jesus doesn't get to my house soon, it's going to be too late. He could have done something, but he just didn't take me seriously. Just plain didn't care. Isn't that what we think sometimes? He just plain didn't care. Letter D. Sometimes it appears that it's too late for God to do anything about our issue. Sometimes it appears that it's too late for God to do anything about our issue. Number one, this is what we think. Maybe God has already forgotten about my dire need. Maybe he's already forgotten. Now, God doesn't forget. You know, it's way too often that we accuse God of the shortcomings of a mortal man. We accuse him of the same shortcomings that we have. Now, the fact is, your preacher will forget. Anybody who's been around me long enough and our staff knows that there's things I forget. In fact, there's probably some things that I said, well, all right, we're going to do that. And then I said, I don't remember anything of this. And sometimes that's just the way it is. Look at verse 49, right there, number 2. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. Now, just so in case you had any question, the word dead there means to be dead. You know, I know words, that's what it means. Your daughter's dead. She's dead. It's all over. I'm not trying to be funny, but she's dead. And it says, don't trouble the master. Number one, there says trouble. That word is harass. Harass. The flay. The skin alive. Why bother God with my problems? No sense in raking God over the coals now. She's dead and there's nothing we can do about it. You know, sometimes if you're not careful, if the answer doesn't show up just when you want it to, you think, well, I'm just bothering him. He didn't want to answer my prayer anyway. And all I'm doing is just harassing him. That's not going to get me any further. You're not harassing him. Maybe I'm not important enough for God to make my needs a priority. Maybe God doesn't have enough power to go around today. Yeah, it's a funny thing that we think to ourselves. This is the God of all creation. There's nothing that's impossible with him. Number 3. Roman number 3, it is natural to feel some disappointment. Disappointment when we feel God has failed one of our loved ones or even ourselves. It's natural. It's natural to feel disappointment. That's who we are. And God knows that. And the fact is, God uses that. Because what he's trying to teach us is, though I feel discarded by God, I know who God is and know that he never leaves me nor forsakes me. What's he doing? Tribulation, working in patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Said, I'm working. I'm building you. I'm molding you to be able to do something for you later. But wait, maybe the way you handle the next issue is going to be seen by somebody else who needs to be encouraged. It's a natural response. True sincere concern is not a bad thing. Well, I guess we're out now. God didn't move in time. God failed me. That's what we think. Roman number 4. Our disappointment should quickly turn to faith in the character of God. Not in what we've seen necessarily, but in the character of God. Add to your faith virtue, and a virtue, knowledge. Get to know who he is. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If you can't stand when the wind blows, the faith is not solid in your heart. And the faith's not solid in your heart, you haven't spent enough time in his word. Because his word is true. Unless you've simply discarded his word in your own thoughts. Maybe God just wants to show greater glory. And he's about ready to do that. He told the disciples when they got ready to go see Lazarus, who was sick, he says, he's not sick. He's dead. Well, what are we going to go now? Well, I'm glad I wasn't there. That they may see your Lord's glory. Maybe God has a greater design that includes disappointment to complete the greater design. Hope deferred. You know, the Bible talks about hope deferred, but man, when it comes, he's talking about impact. I'll get to that in a little bit here, but he wants the impact. You know, if it wasn't serious enough, we forget it. There's some things in our lives we will never forget. There's some things in some life they have dementia and Alzheimer's and all kinds of things, you know, but certain things they don't forget. There's some things that God wants to indelibly imprint on our heart because he didn't want to just slough by this. He wants us to make a lesson that we will not forget. Now, maybe it's something dramatic all at one point, like someone who's going to die. He might do so in the length of the trial. It's going to extend the length so that it extends the impact. It makes a greater impact on who we are. I don't understand why God just doesn't fix this. The fact is when the fact that she's dead, and we know the end of the story, that's going to be a greater impact on her, on him, than if he just said, be healed. Well, maybe she was going to get better on her own. You know, kids do that. There was a fever that went around my four grandkids. Every one of them had it. And just the last week or two here. And they all had this little fever. And the fact is, though, it was just a virus. And the doctor said, I don't know what it is. Just let it play its course. And sure enough, I mean, they had a fever. And the next day, you know how kids are. The fact is, this gal was not just sick anymore. She was dead. You don't fix dead. Letter E. Sometimes God waits, but watch this. Delay does not mean denial. Delay does not mean denial. Just because God hasn't done it on our timing when we think it has to be, even if it looks like we've already lost the issue here, we've lost the battle, that doesn't mean he's denied you the answer. God knows the right timing. And God's timing is often more, as I said, dramatic. More dramatic usually makes it more memorable. Memorable is usually more effective. And what value is being taught a lesson if you can't remember it? So he's going to make sure you remember. This is the lesson you're supposed to remember. Number two. Big number two. So number one, we talked about natural concern. Number two, the supernatural concern of a Savior. The supernatural. Oh, it's natural for us as mortals to be concerned. But there's a supernatural concern. Letter A, it is just as normal for the Savior to have concern for his creation, except his concern is supernatural. You see, our concern, it was in the realm of the circumstances, realm of the temporal. We've got to fix this or the child's dead. What are we going to do? Well, then we've lost. Because that's as far as we can go. We can only go as long as there's breath. As long as there's breath, there's hope. When there's no breath, there's no hope in the temporal realm. When my life has gone into the pits and I've got a mess, there's nothing can be doing. The temporal design is already dead. And God says, no, I can make you a new creation. The Savior's concern is actually greater than our concern. But at times may appear to be unconcerned. We don't think he cares. We may even doubt the Savior's concern. Look what it says in verse 50. Let her be there. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him. Heard what? The girl's dead. Don't bother. Don't even think about it. The girl's dead. But when he heard the answer, he said, fear not. Believe only. And she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. He said, believe only. That word believe means to believe to the point of having faith. You say, what do you mean? You can believe in the facts, but that doesn't mean you have faith in it. But watch out underneath that. Having faith to the point, faith in it, to the point of acting upon that persuasion, that faith. See, if you can say, I believe it, but you really don't have faith in it. That's no good. You say, well, I have faith. Okay, but are you willing to live by that faith? Are you willing to place that faith in what God's going to do? Are you going to put your faith in God's character to do it? He said, oh, believe only. Number two, the word only means merely, alone. Having, here it is, nothing else remaining to apply. He didn't say, let's go up here and let's put a rag on her head and I'll tell you, or maybe what we should do is, and I mean, Elijah and Elisha, they both went where they actually got on top of the body and put the warmth in, brought the boy back to life. He says, all I want you to do is believe. I want you to have enough trust that you're placing your daughter's eternity, her life, in my hands. That's what we need to do. Merely believe. Yep. Now, that's how you get saved. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. For by grace are you saved through, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. He said, believe only. What I want you to do here is just put her in my hands. Will you put her in my hands? You put her in my hands. Because you see, I if you add anything to it, you're going to think that might have done the job. That might have done the trick. All I want you to do is, I want you to realize God did it. And God alone. He says, believe only, nothing else, and you should be made whole, saved from death, preserved from loss. There are some things you need to just trust the Lord on. So you're preserved from loss. Number three, natural doubt. We had natural concern, supernatural concern. Now we have natural doubt. Look at verse 52. So he's going up there to see this child. Didn't take anybody along with him except Peter, James, and John and the parents. And he says, now just believe. Enough to track. Put it in my hands. Verse 52, and all wept and bewailed her, but he said, weep not, she's not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. Now, watch me now. I remember Jack Kyle saying this one time, and it makes a lot of sense. I don't know whether it's a perfect description, but I think it's a good description. He said, all faith has a certain amount of doubt. All faith has a certain amount of doubt. Why you say? What do you mean by that? That means you can't see it. It's unknown, but you're going to believe it. You know, listen, so why you never doubted my salvation? No, because you didn't doubt the character of God. You'll say, well, I never doubted my salvation, but you were saying God gave his word, is what it is. And so there's no, because there was no doubt there, but the fact is, there's probably some time in your life, something passed through your brain that just kind of, I hope this is true. I know it's true, but man. Remember the afternoon my dad passed away. He kind of shooed everybody out of the hospital room, but he wanted me to stay. And he had a tube down his throat and he couldn't talk. We had one of these little charts with letters on them. You point the letter and you try to find out what he's saying. And he pointed to H, and I said, you want to talk about heaven? Listen, he knew if they pulled that tube, because they hadn't pulled the tube yet. They had the tube down there. They hadn't pulled the tube yet. That chance was he was gone. He was just as clear in his mind as he could. He was just as clear as you and I are right now. But his kidneys had shut down. He actually had prostate cancer. I didn't know what they were going to do with that. And they had cracked a rib, and his lung had collapsed, and it was just one thing after another, and everything was shutting down. And so we sat there, and we talked about the day he held my hand, prayed to receive Christ as a Savior to the hospital. And I never saw somebody die with a smile on their face like he did. I mean, the last couple of minutes were tough because he actually had a heart attack, and it hurt. That was hurt. You could tell it was a great pain for about a minute and a half, 2 minutes there. But his bones were so brittle, they said, we can't resuscitate him. You just can't. We just break him. He just crack. But he just needed to hear it one more time. Oh, he believed, and he smiled. He was ready to go. He was like he was waiting at the train terminal, waiting for the train to leave. I mean, just like, I don't know when it's leaving, but if we're leaving, we're going to have a good time. So I'm just talking until the train goes. I mean, that's really what it was like. But there is a certain amount of doubt. But some people are going to put a lot of doubt in your mind. And my guess is, Jairus, he hadn't walked with the Lord very long, if at all. I mean, he knew who could heal his daughter. Can you imagine what he went through? It says, weep not, she's not dead. That little phrase there, not dead. On number one, it means not separated. This is interesting. Not separated, not departed, has not ended. Her life is not completed yet. I can't nail this. I'm not going to die on this hill. But she has not left this world entirely. She hasn't gone to the next world. She hasn't departed yet. I don't know. I'm just saying. It says she hasn't departed, but she was dead. It says, weep not, she's not dead, but sleepeth. That means she is not separated from us, but she's dead. They knew that she was dead. So she's not separated, not departed. She has not left this world. Her body, was no longer inhabited by her life. I don't know whether it's one of those out-of-body things, and she's looking down over top of the, like they do here sometimes, they're looking over top of the operating table and then see them doing, I don't know. But we aren't what this body is, and I'm sure glad for that. Where we are, our mind, our will, our emotions, our soul, that's who we are. He says, well, she's not departed. It says she sleepeth. Her body, number two there, to lie down, sleepeth, to be down. She's down, but she's not out. Her body's dead, but she's not dead. Now it says that, and they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And that word knowing means to understand by seeing. These people were not stupid. The girl's dead. They've seen dead before. She's dead. And he says, I know, but she hasn't departed. Let her be. The world knew she was dead. There's some things you can't fool the world about. Why would Jesus say she's only sleeping when we know for sure that she's dead? The girl's dead. However, Jesus was not wanting to trick them into thinking she was dead when she was actually still alive, and then tricking them into believing that he raised her from the dead when she was never dead in the first place. That's not what he's saying. She really is dead, and the world knows she's dead, and when it sees it, the Lord is coming, is counting on the fact that they know she's dead. If he says, oh, she just has a fever, she's just kind of sick, she's not, then it wouldn't have the impact. That's not what, then he's just a doctor with a good salve for the problem. That's not what he's looking for. The Lord wants the world to see real death, so they can see real life. See, sometimes God has to make it look like we have nothing. We have lost it all. Then he gives us all. And everybody knows God did it. And we don't want to go through that time where everything looks dead. But tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Let her see. When you're in that situation, you've gone out on a limb, you're trusting him, and it looks like it's a lost cause. Let her see. The world's not going to support your faith. The world is not going to support your faith. Don't expect the world to believe in supernatural hope. Reality may be that her body is dead, but there's another reality. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. There may be a reality that all hope is gone. Mortally, humanly speaking, you've heard Merle say it often. He'll say, well, physically speaking and naturally speaking, this person has no hope. We've had a few where God just kind of brought him back to life. I think he wanted him to go home, but I think he brought him back to life just to say, hey, I could have done this if I wanted to. I'm thinking about Larry's brother, Donald. I mean, they thought he was gone. And all of a sudden, I'm in there and we're having a conversation, and just as clear as I'm having a conversation with anybody, he was just as wide awake, and they sent him, but then in 2 weeks later, he was gone. So help me, I think it's just God saying, no, I can do this if I want to, just one minute. But it was actually time for him to go. But I just want you to know, I can do this. Number four, gotta get finished here real quick. Supernatural deliverance. There's natural doubt, but there's supernatural deliverance. No wonder we have doubt, because we can't do it, but we need something supernatural. Verse 54. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called it, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again. Ah, it was gone. It was not totally departed, but it came into her body again. Her spirit came again, and she rose straightway, immediately. And he commanded to give her meat. Give her something to eat. This is not a ghost. This is the real lady. This is the same one that we were talking, the same girl that y'all were talking to a few days ago. This is who she is. She's sitting up taking nourishment. That's what Ken Ravenstein always said. How you doing? Well, I'm sitting up taking nourishment. And she was doing all right. And her parents were astonished, but they charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Now, it said, maid, arise. That word arise means collect yourself. Pull yourself together. You know what I think that means? Put your spirit back in your body. I don't know. I think it might seem crazy. I know it seems kind of crazy. I don't know, but really that's kind of what it is saying. Put yourself back together. She was not there. She hadn't departed. She wasn't separated from God. That's what death is, separation from God. Separation from life. But she says, collect yourself. Bring the soul and the body back together. Let her be. Watch. Circumstantial appearances may be deceiving. Things may look long gone, but God may not be finished. We look through mortal eyes. But we got to be careful that we don't forget to look through supernatural eyes. Let her see. The supernatural doesn't have to play by the rules of nature and the normal. The supernatural doesn't have to play by the rules of nature. The supernatural could say, well, we'll just divide Red Sea and let them all go on dry ground. Well, we'll do the same thing with the Jordan River. Well, we'll just have this guy who's been blind for 40 years, let's give him his sight back. That'll stir things up. And it did. See, God made nature. He made all the rules. He can break them. He can do anything he wants. We are not dealing with the natural, but with the supernatural. We may be down, but we're not necessarily out. Number five, the supernatural is not limited by the natural. The supernatural is not limited by the natural. Those that only live according to nature will only see nature work. The ones who laughed him to scorn about, hey, she's not dead, something good's going to happen, they left, well, then go out. You don't get to see it. You don't get to see it happen. And you're going to see the result eventually, but you're not going to get to see it. It's almost as if they were willing to believe, he would have done it in front of everybody. That's what he did with the guy who was blind. The man who was lame, the leper. Basically, said, no, you're gonna laugh at God. You're not gonna see it. And by the way, individually, well, God's never done anything miraculous in my life. Well, have you ever put it in his hands to do something miraculous? Now, again, don't go out on a limb because you want to make God perform like a trained dog. There'll be enough stuff in your life. That's the way life is. But when it does show up, you give it to him. Only believe. Believe only. Those that live according to the supernatural may see the supernatural work. If Darius had listened to all the advice of those living only by the rules of nature, his daughter would have stayed dead. Can you imagine? Watch. He says, come, please, heal my daughter. She's going to die. Let's go. Meantime, Jesus gets stuck with this gal back here, and they're having this conversation in the middle of the street. Finally, when Jesus gets done, he turns around and said, forget it, it's too late. She's already dead. Don't worry. Forget it, Jesus. Don't worry about it. She's dead. Oh, she just sleep. No, they're dead. They know when she's dead. I mean, they've seen death before. I'm sorry to bother you, Jesus. And we think we're being noble when we say, well, I'm sorry to bother you, Jesus. No, it's a slap in his face. Those that do not trust in God's word rarely get the blessing of seeing God's word fulfilled. Or they'll see it in somebody else's life and say, well, that was probably a coincidence. Well, they're just lucky. I had a guy tell me that in high school, so I don't know what about it is with you, Sterling. He says, it seems like everything turns out your way. You sure are lucky. I remember the kid saying, I'm not lucky. I said, I truly believed that God had been good to me by his mercy. Don't give up until you have taken it to Jesus and let him deal with it. All right, I'm almost done. Summary. The circumstances are the circumstances. The situation is the situation. You may have clearly diagnosed the reality of the problem and are able to understand the natural order of things. She's dead. Job's gone. The marriage is over. I don't know what it might be. But go along with it. But supernatural is still supernatural. The circumstances are the circumstances. I know it's true. But supernatural is still supernatural. Down is not necessarily out. The supernatural is not limited by the facts of nature. Thus, nature is not the last word. God is. Thus, down is not necessarily out. God does not always do things in a natural way. Supernatural ways allows us to see God working. And we may need to be down and appear to be out. And maybe in nature, like that girl, she was out. She was dead. But we may need to be down and out before God brings us back out. According to nature, we're out. But according to God, there's still hope. Father, thank you for talking to us here this evening. Appreciate your taking your time to lead us and to instruct us and help us be prepared for the days that are yet to come. Lord, I pray that you use us. Pray that you be with our folks here. May we see you work in great ways. May we be willing to put our lives in your hands. Heads are bowed and our eyes.